So let's just see what the Lord has for us today. Again, it's so good to see all of you here today, our guests. And I tell you what, if you come too many times, you become family around here. So we welcome all of you here today. Again, such an awesome presence. Sister North, thank you for being so sensitive. And Brother John, oh my gosh. Awesome, awesome. God is doing something, I know, in each of our lives. And he's not finished. He's still working. How many know we're all a work in progress? I want him to continue to work on me until he comes to get his bride, the church. Well, my prayer this morning is that the Spirit of the Lord will speak to each of us so that we'll truly hear what is being said today, and that we would all desire the revelation of His Word, and that there would be a clarity in our hearts when we leave today. You need to understand with me that it is imperative. It is so very important that we are prepared in our hearts and in our lives so we will be able to navigate through what is to come, yes, and most of all, be ready for the return of the Lord. Can you say amen? Our scripture text begins today from Matthew chapter 24 and verse 13. And what I'm going to cover today, I would encourage you to take notes. We do have some notes in the back from our previous, some of our previous messages that cover some of the end time events. I'd encourage you to take it home. You can look it over, read it over again. Take some more notes today. And next Sunday, I'll have something printed out from today. 24:13. Matthew 24:13. Jesus is speaking here, and he says, "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." So the title of my message today is How to Endure to the End. How to endure to the end. And the answer is so simple. Stay full of Jesus. Stay full of Jesus. And I believe this word is a word in due season. So I want you to hear it, and I want you to get it down in your spirit. And if for some reason you have your doubts, then I encourage you to ask the Lord to show you so that you can know the truth, and so there won't be any doubt of where we really are concerning the season of Christ's return for His bride, the church. Now, I've said this before, and I believe this is the greatest time to be alive, and it's the greatest time for the church. Listen, because there is a happening right now. There is happening right now a birthing of the last great spiritual awakening, which, by the way, will be a quick work in the land. Yet, it will be the worst of times for our secular nation and around the world. And we are seeing that as we speak. A shaking of things to see what actually remains from that shaking. And what is not secure in our lives, listen, will be removed. And what is built on a sure foundation is going to remain. And the only sure foundation is that which is built on Jesus Christ. And anything truly then pertaining to the kingdom of God, guess what? It will not be moved. And as faithful believers, we belong to the kingdom. Would you look at your neighbor and say, "I belong to the kingdom"? That's God's kingdom, and it is an everlasting kingdom. In the days to come, as we draw closer to the Lord's return, there will come those events that arise and that which will challenge us. We will see things, we will hear things that will test us and shake us to our very core. And that's not me saying that. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 12 that the time is coming that there will be a shaking of just not the earth, but the heavens also. Now is the time more than ever before, that we need to take our place. We need to stand up and speak up concerning the truth of God's Word in our lives and over our lives. We don't have to give in to the world's demands. Are you hearing me this morning? We don't have to give in to today's culture, an upside-down culture. All lives matter. Red, yellow, black, and white. They are all precious in God's sight. And guess what? We all bleed red when we are cut. Now, you may have your own opinion about this, but I happen to have the microphone right now. I, for one, stand for the flag. And I kneel to the cross and before the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. I believe in patriotism. I believe it's the right thing to do to stand and put my hand over my heart when the national anthem is played. I believe in God. I believe in God's Word. I believe that marriage between only a man and a woman, to have children and form the biblical family unit. I believe in the sanctity of life for the unborn. I believe in the Constitution, in physical conservatism, less government and less taxes. I believe that America should stay a sovereign nation to itself and not governed by a United Nations. And yes, because of those beliefs that ultimately make everyone who believes that way a target by those who disagree. And yes, I used to say I believe in baseball, apple pie, and the American dream. But right now, it's just apple pie and tacos. With all of that said, again, it is and will be the best time for the church. And I personally believe that we have entered the last decade. Now listen to me. I personally believe we have entered into the last decade, the last 10 years of our time as we have known it on the earth. Stay with me. And I believe that that began back in 2017 when President Trump recognized Jesus as the capital and he moved our embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Listen, Jesus is coming back soon, and he tells us in his word so we can be ready with our lamps burning bright. To talk about the end times and Jesus' return should not be something to fear as a Holy Spirit-filled and Spirit-led believer. Can you say amen? But that should be something to be excited about. And when we speak of Christ's return, yes, the Bible clearly tells us we will not know the day or the hour, yet understand that we can know the season of his return. And Jesus happens to tell us so in Scripture. All through God's Word, we find it to be a blueprint, Sister North, types and shadows and models that have been set in place for us. In fact, God spoke and he told Abraham that his seed would be in bondage in a strange land for some 400 years. He did not give him the day or the hour that that would happen. He told Noah man's days would be 120 years. It was 120 years from the time Noah got his instructions to build the ark to its finish before the floodwaters covered all the earth. God had told the prophet Jeremiah that it would be 70 years that God's people would be taken and held in captivity. Again, he did not give him the day or the hour. He told Moses that the children of Israel would be in the wilderness for some 40 years because of their unbelief. So we can see then how God does tell us the time, yet not the day or the hour. Here's what Jesus actually said, recorded for us in Matthew 25, verse 13. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Again, we may not know the day or the hour, but we can know the season. And we can know that all the pieces of the puzzle are written in the Word of God, and they come together. In Mark chapter 13, in verse 23, Jesus is speaking, and he says this, "But take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things." In other words, he was saying that he has told us everything that we need to know for this hour. It's right here in the written word. And Jesus then even refers to the timeline of events, of end time events, that was given to the prophet Daniel over in the Old Testament, who was then told to seal it up until the time of the end of days. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, beginning with verse 13. "But he said, that shall he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." Verse 14. "And in this gospel of the kingdom, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." Watch 15 now. Look at verse 15. "When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand." In other words, the abomination of desolation will be tangible for one to touch, and it will be visible for everyone to see, because all of time, listen now, is defined by that one event. And that's why Jesus said, when you see it, you're going to understand. Speaking of the timeline of events that lead to his coming. Again, Jesus referred us to what Daniel spoke of concerning the abomination of desolation. So the question is, what is the abomination of desolation? And why is it so important? Look then with me over in Daniel chapter 12. And verse 11, here's what it says. "And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be," watch this is very important, "1,290 days. 1,290 days. Now keep that verse up there for just a bit. So the daily sacrifice that shall be taken away, listen now, is an event that happened in approximately 600 B.C. In other words, 600 years before Christ was born, when Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came and invaded and destroyed the kingdom of Judah and its capital, Jerusalem. His armies entered the temple that Solomon had built and removed its treasures and and stopped the daily sacrifices. They took everyone captive and they brought them back to Babylon for some 70 years because of the Jewish people's disobedience. And it was just as God had told Jeremiah would happen. And those taken captive then included, you remember the Bible stories, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And it also included Daniel. And before he was taken, Daniel was standing right there at the Temple Mount on Mount Moriah. And he saw the Babylonians abolish the sacrifices. History records this to have happened approximately 600 B.C. While then in captivity, Daniel was praying. And he asked God, how long would we be in captivity? And after reading the words of Jeremiah the prophet, he found out that it would be 70 years. And so he began to pray and he began to repent for the sins of the people. And he asked God, when would the Messiah come and stop the Gentiles from destroying the temple again, because they would eventually go back and rebuild the temple? And for 3 weeks, the Bible says, 21 days, he fasted and he prayed, asking God, when would these things happen? And Gabriel, the messenger angel, came with a message from God to tell him when the Messiah would come. He said, from the time that you saw the sacrifices stop in 600 B.C. to the building of the abomination of desolation will be 1,290 days, which throughout Scripture, days are meant as years. So there will be 1,290 years. So where then does 1290 take us? From 600 B.C., that's before the birth of Christ, when the sacrifices were stopped, down through time to Jesus' birth would be, of course, 600 years. And then we start the year number one, and not at zero, since zero is infinite. So we start at year one. So 600 years before Christ, plus 690 years after Christ's birth, equals 1290. 1,290 years, 1,290 years, which would take us then to the year 691 A.D. Now, what happened in 691 A.D.? It was the abomination of desolation was built in the court of the Gentiles up on the Temple Mount. It was called the Dome of the Rock, and I believe we have a picture that we can show you. The Dome of the Rock. And it stands there today. The Dome of the Rock is an Islamic shrine where supposedly the Prophet Muhammad ascended back up to heaven or to heaven. Again, that's why Jesus said in Matthew 24:15, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel, you'll understand because it will be visible. It's going to be built exactly 1,290 years from the end of the sacrifices. So we see then prophecy was fulfilled at the appointed time. And I'm talking about precision timing. Can you say amen? Now, why is the Dome of the Rock called the Abomination of Desolation? Because now that the Abrahamic Accord, peace accords, have been established and have been agreed upon by the participating nations, and it was signed back on September 15th of 2020 by the U.S., by the United Nations, and the Sunni Arab nations. Remember the Sunnis, they were the descendants of Ishmael, the son of Abraham. Abraham was his father. The next thing that we can look for is the rebuilding then of the Jewish temple, the third temple, up on Temple Mount, right next to to the Dome of the Rock. Up there on the other side of the Dome of Rock is where the third temple will be built. Now, the piece of card that was signed allows for that temple to be built right there. And the Dome of the Rock, with the Jewish temple being built next to it, will be the source of the greatest Islamic military mobilization with the intentions for the total destruction of Jerusalem. In other words, it will be what ushers in the final battle, the Battle of Armageddon. We are in the decade of where that stage is being set for the final showdown, and that's what Daniel was talking about. Jesus was very clear. He was opening up then the seal that was put upon Daniel's prophecy. Remember, we read where it was sealed up. And he was now giving us the key in Matthew 24 and 15 that it was the Dome of the Rock that would be the abomination that would bring desolation to the modern state of Israel. Now he says we who read will understand, and we see what Daniel tells us in chapter 12 in verse 11. Let's read it one more time. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there will be 1,290 days. So we see what happened. The Dome of the Rock was built and is the abomination of desolation. And then Daniel goes on to tell us what will happen after 691 A.D. And Daniel gives us specific times. But again, remember, not the day or the hour. He tells us when the end of time for the Gentiles will come. The next verse, in the next verse. Watch this now. This is the message to Daniel from Gabriel the archangel. Daniel chapter 12, verse 12. Blessed is he that waiteth and comes to the 1,335 days. To the 1,335 days. And then in verse 13, Daniel is given this personal word from God through Gabriel. He says, but go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in the lot, in thy lot, in other words, in thy destiny, at the end of days. He says, you go ahead, you rest now. Now, just as it was specific timing of 1,290 years from the end of the sacrifice to the building of the abomination of desolation, here we have specifics concerning the end of days. Verse 12 again. Blessed is he that rideth, that waiteth, and cometh to the 1,335 days. That being 1,335 years. Again, that's why Jesus said, when you see the abomination of desolation built, you will understand the timeline. So now, the abomination of desolation is built, 691. You add 1,335 years. That brings us to the end of the Gentiles. What happens when you add those together? What does it come up to? Anybody got a calculator? 2026 A.D. What year are we in? 2021. And using the Hebrew calendar, understand, this is something to be excited about. This is nothing to be sad about. Using the Hebrew calendar, the Jewish New Year, it always starts on Rosh Hashanah in September of every year. So using the Hebrew calendar, the Jewish New Year that starts on Rosh Hashanah in September of 2026, okay, goes through up to September of Rosh Hashanah in 2027. Just like we have our New Year's in January, theirs starts in September. September over into the next of our next year. All right. So without a doubt, we know the season, but yet we don't know the day or the hour. 1,335 years added to 691 A.D. brings us through time down to 2026. Again, Jesus was saying, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel, that being the Dome of the Rock, when you see the abomination of desolation stand, meaning established or built in the holy place or on that Temple Mount, you'll understand the timeline that Daniel was given concerning the coming of the Messiah and showing the end of the time of the Gentiles. Now, in my previous message, you might want to get the notes. He also showed Daniel when Jesus would come to earth. He gave us the timeline, 690 years, if you remember. And Jesus came at his birth at the exact time that Daniel was given. And then Daniel was given the timeline then for the end of time. Now, the question is, are there other signs then that confirms Daniel's timeline to the end of days? Let's look at one more today. We can confirm it with what is called dispensations. The term dispensation is defined as a distinctive period of time in Bible history which God relates to mankind. Now, there is given by scholars as many as 8 separate dispensation periods divided in biblical history. And so for the sake of time, we're going to condense it down and we're going to use 3 dispensations to confirm what we're saying. Remember, the Bible tells us that the heavens and the earth, along with every living creature, including man, was created in 6 days. And then God rested from his labor, the Bible says, on the 7th day. And we know now that a day is as of 1,000 years to the Lord. In fact, in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8, it says, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." From the moment Adam and Eve left the garden to the days of Abraham, and the reason we speak of them leaving the garden, that brings it to a specific time, because we do not know how long they were in the garden. Okay. From the moment Adam and Eve left the garden to the days of Abraham is a period of time called the dispensation of conscience, and that was 2,000 years. 2,000 years from Adam to Abraham. All right, now watch this. From Abraham to Jesus' baptism is another 2,000 years. And that was the period known as the dispensation of the law. 2,000 years for the dispensation of conscience from Adam to Abraham. From Abraham to Jesus' baptism, 2,000 years, dispensation of the law. And we know that Jesus was baptized in A.D. 26. In A.D. 26. Which marked the end of the law and the beginning of the dispensation of grace. So when you calculate that and you add 2,000 years of the dispensation of grace, you add that 2,000 to A.D. 26, when Jesus is baptized, what does it bring us to? 2026. 6,000 years to 2026. The end of time for the Gentiles. We can know the season and not know the day or the hour of His return. Again, that's something to be excited about. I believe without a doubt we are now in the final decade, as I said, the last 10 years of time on the earth as we have known. And again, this last decade began when President Trump declared Jerusalem the capital of Jerusalem, the capital of the Jewish people, in 2017. And that was the beginning of the final decade, and listen, and the greatest shaking, where everything now will come together. That's why, watch this now, that is why we have a purposeful man-made pandemic with the coronavirus. It was not something natural. It was man-made for evil intentions. And now that has led us then to the need for vaccines. And from that, a need for a passport, vaccine passports, which now in many places, you're not able to travel to certain destinations and do business without the vaccine passport. Now listen, then you're going to find out very soon that the vaccination shots that you had, at some point in time, they will expire, which will require you to get, what, additional vaccines. And without those, then your passport is no longer valid. And on it goes then, purposefully designed, and I believe as a doorway, now listen closely, as a doorway that one day, at one point, will eventually lead to receiving the biochip as the mark of the beast used by the Antichrist. Now, I am not saying today the vaccine is the mark of the beast. I did not say that because I don't know. But the way this looks, it's going to open the door eventually for the opportunity for that to be used at some point by the Antichrist. Are you understanding what I'm saying? I'm just being real with you today. All by design for the end of time to usher in the one world government, one world religion, and yes, the depopulation of mankind on the earth. The population of mankind is somewhere between 6 and 7 billion. The globalists want it down. This is a fact. They want the population down to 500 million. How many people does that mean to have to be killed and moved out of the way? And I'll tell you, it's no longer coming. It is here. The Antichrist is alive and well on planet Earth, waiting for his appointed time to set onto the world stage, to step onto the world stage. And now on the evening news and social media, we read about it, we hear about it, we see the uprising of violence in cities all across America, racial tension rising to levels not ever seen before, talk of a coming civil war right here in our nation once again, a civil war. And rumors of war all across the planet. The Bible speaks of that. Earthquakes happening now at a pace never seen before in places that have never experienced earthquakes before. They had one last week in New Jersey. Never a place normally for earthquakes. Understand, all of this shaking and this unsettling is going to continue, leading down to a final showdown over Jerusalem and Temple Mount with the Battle of Armageddon. All of the times pointing to the final days according to the Scripture. The signs of the times and the prophecies in Scripture are coming together. The future, listen now, the future has been pre-recorded for us so that we as children of God will be ready. Are you understanding me? So that we will be filled up with God's Spirit, ready then to fulfill the purposes of God in our lives. The question for us today is, are you ready? Am I ready? Understand then, our time is short. We must be about our Father's business. The Bible tells us that God will even shorten the days now of His coming. Here is what Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 22. Even though we've seen the timeline, we have a pretty good idea. And except those days should be shortened, Jesus said, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. We, as the children of God, are the elect. It's not some special person. Okay? That's not a pastor or a prophet. It's all of God's children. We are God's elect. Do you understand? And Jesus is saying, I will have to shorten the days of my coming, because if I don't, there won't be anyone left. Why? Because before Jesus returns, the devil's intentions will be to escalate his plans through evil people. And he's going to do everything in his power to destroy all of mankind and the earth itself. Why? Because of his hatred for the people of God. Even if that means having a third world war using nuclear weapons. So the Lord is saying, I will shorten the days and I will come sooner than later for my bride called the church. I don't know about you, but I want Him to come soon. Now, we are living on borrowed time. Let's not find ourselves entangled with the affairs of this world. Can you say amen? Why? Because the time has come for us to finish, Brandon, the King's business. Now, with everything going on and knowing what's coming, should we prepare in the natural? Sure. So how do we endure to the end? Jesus said these words as it was in the days of Noah. Noah received revelation from God. God gave him the time that he would have to prepare. Noah received strategic instructions, and he received practical instructions on what to do in building the ark. And he did what God told him to do. Can I tell you what God will give each of us, what we need, that He will give each of us what we need to do when it comes to practical things in our everyday lives? I don't know about you, but I'm not able to buy a tractor-trailer load of survival food in pails. I can't afford that right now. Okay? So everybody will have their own plan. God's going to show you what you need to do for your own preservation, for your family, and for yourself. It's going to be a plan designed for you. And when I speak of preparation, understand that doesn't mean that you're to go out and go live on a deserted island somewhere. Amen? I love to have a cabin in the mountains, but that doesn't mean I'm to go there and live the rest of my lives as a hermit. Okay? And I've said it before. If you're thinking about getting married, make your plans. Make your plans. Ladies, you know what to do when a rich man comes your way. Amen? Make some plans. I'll leave that at that. This lady out. No, I'm not going to. Plan to graduate. Plan for college. Plan for your families, because the scripture says we are to occupy till He comes. That means to carry on with your lives, but carry on, listen now, being in the center of God's will for your life. carry on with what He's told you to do. Build your home. Work your land. Do what you need to do. And I think it's so awesome. So many families are gathering their extended families together. The only thing that will survive then is the things that God has told you to do. Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters that is outside, listen now, that is outside of His will for your life. Do you understand what I just said? Reevaluate your life. Take now, simplify your life. Get back to the basics. Keep your eyes upon Him and Him alone. And as we listen then to His instructions and obey and carry out what He tells us to do, listen now, we won't be affected by what's happening in the world around us. We'll be prepared as Noah was. So ask God for the plan for you and your family. And that's why I believe now, listen, that's why I believe the local church as a body of believers is so important. We can pray for one another, and we do. We can look out for one another, and guess what? We do that. We can help one another in times of need, and we have done that, and we're going to continue to do that. We can have an encouraging word from one another. Has anybody ever received an encouraging word from someone else? Have you ever gotten a card from someone with a wonderful note of encouragement? I have, many times. Don't let the enemy then lie to you and tell you that you don't need a church family to worship with. But that's exactly, listen now, that's exactly what the enemy wants. That's exactly what the devil wants. A sheep out away from the rest of the flock. Why? So they will be vulnerable to the snare of the enemy. We need one another. I desire and want your prayers. I love talking to another brother or a sister in the Lord about what God is doing in this hour. I love to assemble together as often as I can with this body and worship together. I love to hear the testimonies of God's people. I love for the Lord to put folks on my heart, and then He leads me to pray for them, not knowing what might be happening in their lives at that moment in time. And then He gives me an encouraging word for that someone. How awesome is that? Understand, you won't be able to do that if you're not connected to the body, to a body of believers. Now, listen closely. Using the Jewish calendar again, the day of Rosh Hashanah, I'm almost through. Reese, would you come on up? Using the Jewish calendar, the day of Rosh Hashanah, back in 2020, which was September 18th of last year, that was the beginning of the Jewish New Year, September 18th of 2020, last year, the beginning of the Jewish New Year, that was on Rosh Hashanah. That was 3 days after the Abrahamic Peace Accord was signed in 2020, September 15th. And this, I believe, ushered us into what the Bible calls the last 7 years before the return of the Messiah, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. These are the final years, according to Daniel's timeline, when our King, the King of Glory, will return to take His church. These are the last days. How many can say amen to that? These are the signs of the times which are telling us now to get prayed up and filled up with Jesus. Again, it is now all about preparation spiritually and in the natural. Everything God says will come to pass according to the biblical timeline, according to the messianic clock God gave to Daniel. And I've showed you just a portion of it today. again, God sent his angel, Gabriel, to give Daniel the timeline that we are living in this day, that we will know what time it is, and so that we could prepare ourselves. Our scripture text, one more time, from Matthew chapter 24, verse 13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. He didn't say might be saved. If you endure to the end and don't turn back, Sister Nora, no turning back, he says you shall be saved. Verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Let's determine today, let's determine anew today in our hearts that we will endure to the end, fulfilling God's purpose in our lives, and be able to hear him say one day, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter now into your rest. And into my rest. Hallelujah. I want to stay filled up with Jesus, Brandon. Let's all stand together. Hallelujah. Worship the Lord with a hand clap right now. Oh, I hope you're excited today. I love to read God's Word. I love to find out what He's saying. He tells us everything that we need to know. He says, I've already told you everything you need to know, and it's right here. Something to be excited about. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I want us to do something as we end today.